Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. Today I have three of my four coaches with me, which is very exciting. Andy, how are you?
All good. Alive. Always a
We're
bonus.
all waiting for Andy's baby to arrive.
Oh, can we cancel that, please? We're not talking about it.
Oh, okay, sorry, right. Moving on.
I'm
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, really good.
Ruth's in Barbados.
I am. I'm as rolling highs. Yeah, no, it's really good. It's lovely here. Sorry.
No, I'm glad. Do you know what? I was speaking to an AFM coach about this today, and she was like, "Oh, I think she's going to Portugal," but she's like, "I'm a bit worried about showing it in case people think I'm rubbing it in their face and stuff." And I'm like, "I love seeing like people away having fun, even if it's like it is literally dark now. It's not even 4 p.m. yet. Like the day has ended." But I'm like, great that like I love seeing Ruth go off do other stuff. I think it's kind of a case of like victim mentality, isn't it? Like, I don't want to see anyone else having fun if I'm not. I'm like, show me the people having fun. I'll just live through them.
I know. And actually, when we were living here, like for ages, I didn't post. I was like embarrassed to post because it was during COVID, I thought it was a bit kind of just rubbing it in people's faces. And then, like you, other people are like, no, I want to see it. I want to see it. So
Oh, I was
surprised.
obsessed with it in COVID. I remember when Darren went to Australia and I was like, show me the sun. Like, I need to see these things. Like, I can't be outside at the moment. Yeah. And we also have Maureen, newest recruit. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I'm better after my nap.
Are you well?
I'm very well. Yeah. Happy to be here.
What's the crack?
Not much crack now today. I wish I was in Barbados, but we can just have a figment of my imagination. But
Where you live seems very close to Barbados anyway.
oh God, like it'd be hard to distinguish now, I'd have to tell you.
Okay, well, Ruth, you're the question master, as usual.
Yes,
Back
I
on.
am. I've got them here. Are you ready? It's a longer question, but it says, can you talk more about environment and habits? I try to keep my home pretty healthy with the fun foods every once in a while, but lately I've been buying chocolate. I think it's for comfort, and I end up eating a bar a night. And now with the holidays, all the offices are filled with chocolates, etc. How do you handle environments you don't have control over? And why am I tricking myself thinking that I won't eat chocolate I buy for the house? Clearly a Jekyll and Hyde over here. She said that, not me.
It is harder when environments change at this time of year, and especially when you're not in Barbados, like most of us, and there is way more readily available food around. It's colder. Like, I've noticed my step count go down massively because like I said, it's what, 3:45 or just after, and it's now dark. I mean, luckily today it's not raining, but you're way less likely to be as active. So there are loads of things around kind of your environment that are changing your behaviors and that have impact on your behaviors, which are probably going to make it harder to stay in shape or get in shape. Doesn't mean it's impossible. And our whole kind of ethos is like, fuck average. Like, the average person would be like, oh, it's cold and dark outside, so I'm just not going to get my steps. The commit to six person would be like, I'm going to find another way to do that, whether that's buying a crappy treadmill, whether that's doing steps with Rick, whether that's adding in a bit of cardio, whether it's, going out for a lunchtime walk, whatever it is, it's like, I will find a solution to this. And that's the kind of mindset you need to have. Now, realistically, is it harder? Yeah. But I think even subconsciously, a lot of people hear that and then think, well, it's hard. Like, it's hard isn't an excuse not to do it.
Yeah, I mean, with the chocolates in the house, do you buy them around Christmas time? Because I try not to buy them. And my husband has a thing that if we're given them over Christmas, that you don't open them.
Oh yeah, because you can re-gift them. Hello.
Yes.
When.
Yeah. And I was like, it hadn't even crossed my mind that that was something that you could do.
Oh yeah, I always re-gift chocolates.
It's like, why
Just
did
don't
you
give it
open
to the
that?
same person.
Pardon?
Just don't give it back to the person that gave you them, because that can go all kind of wrong.
Yeah,
Or you
true.
do need to have a good excuse. Yeah, I love these. I thought these were brilliant when you got me them, so I thought I'd get you the exactly same ones.
They're always a bit disappointing, aren't they, the chocolates in the tubs? I think, like, I'd rather get something I like a bit more than trying to find the one you actually like.
Well, they did a percentage one on this one. Was it Celebrations or one of these ones? And it turns out that they put more shit ones in, basically.
Do you think they do that to make you buy more of them? Like,
yeah,
more
tubs? Probably so you buy more tubs, yeah. Because it's whatever the one that's got, I don't know if any of you guys like those, the toffee ones, the eclairs. It's like the toffee with the chocolate in it. It's like the most pointless chocolate. It's shit. And apparently there's like 65% more of them in the box than there is anything else.
And it's a celebration.
I think it's Heroes.
I quite like those.
Andy likes a box of cream egg ones. Is that what you want, Andy?
That's what I'm after. Cream egg all the way.
Oh, they're my worst.
So sickly. So, do you know what? I will say, a Heroes cream egg thing I can eat, but an actual cream egg, no.
No, agreed. They're too sweet. So I don't know if that answered her question of how do you handle different environments of eating chocolate and so on. But
I have like a broader view of this as well, because I think it's quite interesting. I've been doing quite a lot of research on GLP-1 agonists, which are often named either, I don't know if I'm saying this right, is it Weibology and what's the other one? Ozempic are like brand names for semaglutide.
Semaglutide, yeah.
Yeah, and an interesting thought about that is like, you can blame the environment for obesity, but then you have the observation that some people live in this environment and aren't obese. So it's not the environment, it's the interaction between a person and the environment. Now, if you didn't have the environment and you didn't have the prerequisites to respond to the environment in a certain way, then obviously it wouldn't result in obesity, but you kind of need like the combination of the two. And one argument I would say kind of like for drugs like that is that they often level the playing field. So for example, some people might be like, yeah, I kind of eat to satiety. I, you know, don't overindulge in certain things I know aren't particularly healthy for me, but you might not be using a hell of a lot of willpower to do that. You might just have like relatively normal hunger levels. And then you might have other people that have a predisposition to having higher levels of hunger, which means in the environment that we live in, they're more likely to overeat and eat more calories than what they actually need. This is only, like, to caveat this, whenever people talk about reasons for obesity or reasons that people overeat, it's almost like whether you say it or not, there's like this like all or nothing thing of like, this must be the only reason. It's not the only reason. There are numerous reasons that people overeat, but one of them is that some people have a higher drive to eat than other people. So to be on a diet would be harder, right? And habitually they'll want to eat more. Now, if something that reduces your appetite, like this drug, allowed you to eat in a way that is more in line with the actual calories that you actually need, the environment hasn't changed, but your response to the environment has changed. I don't really know exactly why I was bringing that back to, it's just because we were talking about environment. I was like, it's interesting that people will want to blame either the environment or the person. And there's quite a lot of headlines. I think this is where it came from. I read a headline and it said, got it up here. This is my next EIQ lecture. But it said, Ozempic suggests obesity is about biology more than willpower. And my point is, no, it doesn't. It suggests that it's the relationship between someone's biology and the environment that is the issue.
So do you think
less willpower?
Do you think that if someone was taking that medication until they got down to kind of where they needed to be and they've kind of been able to have that willpower, if they stopped taking it then, would they be able to maintain that willpower?
So my point is when they're taking the medication, they require willpower because they're not.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, most of the research says that when people stop taking the drug, they regain the weight.
Yeah.
Now, that's seen as this big argument against it, but I'm like, almost all medication works that way. Like, you stop taking insulin, then you'll have high glucose levels, right? You stop taking, I don't know, your blood, your statins, then your cholesterol goes up again. You stop taking your med, yeah. like, know, you're the pill, then you start getting a menstrual cycle again. Like, you know, like medication does tend to only work until you have it. Now, caveat to this is that I think there's an argument, and the research, by the way, doesn't necessarily support this, but I think there's an argument to say that if you're very obese, and not only might you have like a predisposition from like a genetic standpoint to be hungrier, but you also have dysregulation in the way that you're reading things like leptin levels, because you've got excessively high leptin levels because of the amount of body fat that you have. If you can use a drug to bring down your body fat levels, that might actually help your hunger regulation even when you're not on that drug anymore. Secondly to that, and this is a part I think people miss, you cannot just take that drug and not eat less. Like, you take the drug, it helps you eat less, and then you lose body fat, right? So then you might think, okay, well, if you took it for a period of time, you started to have smaller portion sizes, maybe alongside that, you started to lose fat, and then you were able to exercise a little bit more, and then that became habitual, then who's to say that actually, you know, even if you gained some of the weight back, you wouldn't be in a far better position than you were to start with. So I get people's argument against it of like, well, wouldn't you have to take it forever? And like, I think the counter argument is, one, maybe not, but two, most drugs, you know, you could say the same for diet and exercise. Won't you just have to keep dieting and exercising if you want to keep the weight off? Yes, you will. You know, most interventions, it's like, if you want long-term results, you need to keep doing the thing long-term.
Yeah.
I don't know, are they set out originally for long-term use though? Like, I definitely think, now this is just in my opinion, that like that, if you're not doing the habits and behaviors alongside taking the medication, yeah, you will 100% regain the weight again. But I think even the GPs, now I could be totally wrong, but they are supposed to be recommending that, yes, you take this medication alongside making changes to your lifestyle. And that would then make the lifestyle changes easier so that it could become a habit. But an awful lot of people are just abusing the medication and not actually doing that side of things, and therefore they will be on it long term. But as far as I've been told by like somebody who works in a pharmacy, they weren't intended to be long term use.
Yeah, no, you're right. They're not long term use, but we also just don't have enough data on, because it's a relatively new drug to be used for weight loss, at least. It's been used longer in type 2 diabetes, but we don't know whether there's like negative side effects to long-term use, and there probably is, but there are negative side effects to every single drug that you take. And then you've got to weigh up, are these negative side effects worse than the negative side effects of obesity? And where I guess I'm like trying to distinguish here is like, if you are someone who is obese to the extent that you have maybe type 2 diabetes or high risk of cardiovascular disease, that's a very different risk ratio, like pro and con ratio, than like if I was like, I want to lose some weight and I'd rather not be hungry, so I'll just take it and I'm already in a healthy BMI range. That's very different, right? So I don't agree with like celebrities and stuff taking it who are like already healthy, but like, this might make it a bit easier to diet. But I think in it would be stupid to be like, that means nobody should ever take it. Like, something isn't good or bad, it depends on the context.
It's horses for courses, isn't it? It's totally dependent on the situation. But also as well, the problem that you have is that GPs, A, probably aren't qualified in giving out the advice that they need to give out in terms of making changes to the exercise and to diet. And a lot of them just don't have the time. They don't have the time to be able to. You've got 9 minutes with a GP nowadays. Like,
if you
can get in, like 9 months later, yeah, you know, it's mad. But like, the problem is that taking something like this could be very helpful for a lot of people. But the problem is exactly the same as the reasons why stuff like MLM, like Herbalife and stuff, fall down is the first 3 months is great, everything goes great, but then after that, there's no ongoing support to help you keep or maintain the weight, the fat loss that you've achieved. So, you know, there'll be pros and cons, but a lot of it is about the support mechanism behind it that will help you extend that once you decide to come off it. Be similar things like antidepressants and stuff as well.
But I mean, I guess the other point is, it, like you're saying, it's not one or the other. Like you can't be healthy just by losing fat. Yeah. You also need to exercise and to look at what you're eating. So like, you know, and I've had loads of clients, well, loads. I've had like 3 or 4 clients who took, I think Ozempic or PIC, however you say it, or whether it was the other one, which is one of them's a pill and one of them's injectable, right?
Ozempic is injection.
Yeah.
Ozempic, it's just a different name for it.
Yeah. Yeah, but then there's like
that's the one I've got.
Weevily or something like that. Yeah, that's semaglutide as well, but I think that's done in a pill.
But I think that's a pill, isn't it? But anyway, besides the point.
I don't even know if that's got the same has the same effect as an injection.
This is the other interesting thing. I think obviously the dosages are slightly different.
Massive.
But then I think the impact of placebo as well. When you inject something, has a way bigger impact than when you're given a pill. And there's loads of research to support that, even if it's the same thing.
Mm.
Yeah. So that might be interesting as well. But anyway, yeah, my point is they still need to diet and exercise. Like it's not, I think some, especially like uneducated personal trainers are like, oh, it's just a cheat. It's like, no. if they continued the behaviors they would consistently doing at the moment and took this drug, nothing would happen. The fact is it makes it easier for them to stick to their diet.
Yeah.
They'll have to exercise to be healthy though.
The client I had was actually recommended, like Maureen said, by her doctor for it to go alongside a regular diet and exercise routine. He wasn't saying do it on its own. So that's positive.
Well, I don't think anyone, like, surely no doctor's like,
I mean, like Andy said, 9 minutes, you just hope, don't you, that they do that. Depends how tired they are. But yeah, no, I wouldn't think so. So the next question. Yeah, okay. How do you find your way back when you've totally lost your way, have a hideous amount to deal with at the moment, and feel like I've just pissed the first two weeks of Commit 42 up the wall, as I felt like I've not had any bandwidth to do anything? Okay.
Did I answer this in the group, or is there someone else in the same situation?
Oh, wait. No. Oh, well, it's in the pod. Maybe they put it in the group as well, but this is in the podcast, but the podcast thread. So you might have answered it in the group, but it might also be.
Yeah, I mean, one, you've never wasted anything. And like the worst thing to do is be like really pissed off about the fact that, you know, the last 2 weeks hasn't gone to plan. There's nothing you can do about that. That is now the past. What can you do now? And the first thing I would do is stop beating yourself up about that and be like, okay, what's realistic now? And you can restart, like, you know, you can go back and do your audit. If you're on Commit 42 and you're like, I want to go back and do my audit. Cool. When you've got time, and do you know what? Often over Christmas, there is quite a lot of downtime because you're waiting for something to cook, or everyone's really tired after eating, or, you know, like there's sometimes quite a lot of hanging around. If you can take some time then to get a bit of perspective, write some goals down and get yourself started again, what is realistic?
Fine. Also, this is the audit. I've had a couple of people in check-ins who they've had substantial change that wasn't expected that's happened. And I was like, it's not set in stone. Like if things change and you have to go back and edit the audit, like that is okay as well. Like obviously not just going, oh, I didn't do that, so I'll take it out. I mean, because there's been a substantial change. And actually, I think this lady, I've done a check-in. I don't think it was as like, that's it, as she's perhaps making out anyway. But
I know that I always say this, but it's just such a good frame. It's like, it's you compared to the version of you that's not trying. And you're miles ahead of them. And exactly what Ruth's saying, like the reason we do check-ins is because life happens, life changes. You know, if we knew exactly what was going to happen over the next 6 weeks, we'd have everything lined up to an absolute T, but we don't. Like nobody does, right? So that's why there's the ability to adjust things. That's why you've got range targets. That's why you were meant to set your non-negotiables as very achievable non-negotiables. And then your optimals is what you're striving for. Yeah.
So to find her way back, just Like, I mean, just move on, keep moving now, or picking one thing. Because I always think stop over Christmas is a great time, like you said, stop and make a plan. I feel like when you're getting overwhelmed and you're like, I haven't done this, and you're thinking in the past, but you're not actually just stopping and resetting. So over Christmas, like you said, that's a good time, isn't it? Just to go, what can I manage? What's realistic? And then do that.
Yeah, and normally what I suggest, and I've got a podcast on this, but it's like, if you feel like this, or it actually doesn't sound like it is this woman, but if you've gone way off track or something's not gone right and you're like, how do I kind of restart? Focus on the next 3 days. And the reason that this works is 3 days is short enough not to feel overwhelming, but long enough for you to start to feel better from taking action. And then what you find is you build a bit of momentum, and that gives you a bit of motivation, and then it's much easier to continue. A lot of the reasons that people struggle to get, like, quote unquote, back on track is because they're like building up to be this huge, like, I'm back on track for the rest of my life and this is how far I've got to go. No. 3 days. What can you do over the next 3 days to get you closer to that goal? Cool. Let's focus on those. Once you get there, then actually you tend to feel quite a lot better already. And then once you're in a better mood, it's much easier to continue to do the behaviors that you know are going to get you closer to your goal.
Yeah. I think as well, when it comes to people trying to get back on track, they always try to do far too much. So they have 10 things on their tick list that they want to get. I'm going to get back on track. I've got 50 things I'm going to do a day. Well, for a start, that's already overwhelmed you, because you wake up at 7 a.m. and you've just shat the bed because you've got 50 things to tick off. Like, break it back down.
That would be a bad way to wake up.
Not a great start to the day, to be fair. But yeah, break it back down. Like, just, you know, these things happen. Life happens. You kind of have to navigate as best you can. And a lot of it is about just making sure that you're not, because the majority of us will put pressure on ourselves and then overload ourselves with things to do. So drop the pressure off, less things. And as Emma's already mentioned, like, your non-negotiables should be like a minimal thing that you can nail down. Mm-hmm.
I thought Maureen had her hand up.
Maureen's attention there.
I was just like, I'll be back in a second.
Maureen, do you have something you'd like to add? No, she's good. She's leaving. Okay, fine. Next question.
It's a two-parter, or it's question one and question two. So the first question, so I've noticed that consuming dairy triggers acne. How can I effectively address this issue and reverse its effects? I mean, it depends if it's an allergy, isn't it? Or
yeah, and there is some correlation. Now, I can't remember whether this is actually the case or not. I think a lot of people think that it does, but then it's not that highly correlated. Now, I'm not actually a skin expert, but I do now vividly remember talking to Anjali about this, who is. Now, I can't remember off the top of my head.
What was eczema, that it could, like, if you've got eczema, often you struggle a bit more with dairy, but
I mean, if you know that it is that, then you could exclude dairy. But I would make sure that it is that before you do, because dairy is actually an awesome thing to have in your diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also going, like, you know, if you are worried about that, and if you do really struggle with acne, definitely follow Anjali on Instagram. Pretty sure her last name is like something that I can't pronounce.
Now we have to make Emma say it, don't we?
So, you know, as if I've not already tried to say loads of things that I can't pronounce today. Matto? Okay, not that hard. Dr. Anjali Matto. She's very good.
There we go. Okay, question two is, I typically include animal protein in my meals, but due to the acne concerns, I've started incorporating vegan protein shakes post-workout. What's your perspective on this approach, and how do you view the use of vegan protein powders in general?
I would be sure that they're not as effective. And did she say that she was excluding animal sources of protein?
No. She said, I typically include animal protein, right, in my meals.
So yeah. Whey protein for vegan protein.
Because I guess maybe she was, yeah. I wonder if she was also mixing, I don't know.
So some vegan proteins are better than others. So some have a full amino acid spectrum. The issue with other sources of vegan protein is that they don't have a full amino acid spectrum or a full essential amino acid spectrum. So they're not as effective as like whey protein. Usually the leucine content's much lower as well. Interestingly, when people used to be quite, well, actually I say used to be, when collagen protein was advised as a meal replacement on some diets, some people died.
What?
Because they weren't, they weren't getting essential amino acids from their diets. And this diet was proposed to be like a meal replacement shake. So they weren't getting like other food from their diet. So they weren't able to synthesize these amino acids, causes really big problems. So as it, again, collagen protein doesn't have full amino acid spectrum. And like I said, I think some vegan protein does. I think Awesome Supplements do a vegan protein that uses a blend of like pea protein and soy protein and don't know, some other sources, so that you do have this full spectrum. But I would check that out. I haven't looked for a little while.
I heard that there was talk of them doing like a potato protein thing. I read about this ages ago, and they said that it's the most similar to that of whey protein, and they're trying, it's like quite hard to get. I think you can get it in America at the moment in some places, but apparently that's coming, that is going to be, I think it might be, I don't know, it was a Huberman or somebody that said about it, and I was like, oh, that's interesting that there's going to be something from potatoes that is
not vodka.
You get potato milk now.
They wouldn't be high in protein.
No, it must be like kind of, I don't know, like whatever protein is actually in a potato, like nothing. It's like 100% carb almost, isn't it? Like
milking a potato.
Well, there's more protein in broccoli, I think, than potato.
Oh, that would
whereas you can get the same amount of protein out of broccoli as you can in steak, apparently. if you eat three fields of broccoli, yes.
Yeah. Remember they did that comparison, like someone was like, this is the amount of protein you get from broccoli, and then it was like, this is how much you'd have to eat. Good luck.
It was Peter that did it. The animal rights folks, who we know they're full of shit for a start.
Find it. It's definitely something that came up, because I remember I was like, potatoes.
I thought you were going to go for an Irish accent there, Ruth. Not anymore.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it would be terrible. Maybe one day as a treat.
Has anyone had pea milk before?
Ooh, no.
That's a no.
I had, and it was real nice.
I just, it's the thought of it.
Is it green?
Milking a pea, isn't it? It's just,
it wasn't green. Potato milk was gross.
It sounds gross. It just sounds like the starchy water that you have when you boil potatoes.
Yeah, basically. That's kind of what I felt like it was, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Oh, I can make you that.
Ruth's going to make £1 billion on this industry. Yes.
I'm like, I missed my calling. I can definitely just overcook some potatoes and give you that. Anyway, there you go. Do you want the next question? I mean, yes, try and include whey protein, I think was the answer to that one, if you can, if it's not an actual allergy.
Yeah, let me just look up that, because now I can't remember if that's like,
yeah, but you could, if she's going to have like animal products, like she could have the vegan protein powder, but just getting protein from like whole foods, other, like, you know, doesn't have to be all coming from the protein powder.
And at each meal, you can get a decent amount of protein anyway, can't you? So you shouldn't need too much of that. It's just a boost. Yeah. Emma, sorry.
No strong evidence exists to support the claim that whey protein causes acne. There used to be a quite a big like correlation. And then people were like, yeah, it's probably because when people start going to the gym and getting really sweaty, this is what Anjali said. Now I remember, because she was telling me this, right? She was basically like this obviously isn't this person, because I'm sure she's very hygienic, but she was like, the link between whey protein and acne is actually normally being unhygienic, like as in going to the gym, getting sweaty. At the same time, you've started going to the gym, so you start drinking protein shakes, and then
sweaty little male teenagers, basically.
Yeah.
Can I just also say about go back to potatoes? I've just looked it up, and it is there is a potato protein powder, and it is meant to be have all the amino acid kind of thing. It is meant to be the closest to that of whey protein, so it is a thing. And it, but I haven't seen the actual amount of protein in it.
20,000 pounds per tub.
It just potato protein contains many of the essential amino acids that we need.
It contains what? Many.
Many. I don't know how many. Some.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not all of them, is it?
No, I know. but they were like, they said it's the next big thing in that it's the closest to whey. I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
I wouldn't trust the marketing.
I mean, this is like top thing I'm reading on Google, so no, I wouldn't trust the marketing. But I heard it on a podcast ages ago, and I was like, and I never really delved because I wasn't going to have it because I'm happy with whey.
Yeah.
Right. Shall I go on to the next one?
Actually, here you go. Quickly, just as we do that, I've just Googled it. Leucine content of potato protein is 8.3%, which is higher when compared to casein, which is 8%, and egg, 7%.
Yeah, but what about whey?
Yeah, it doesn't tell you about that, though.
Because we know that casein doesn't have enough.
Right, so whey protein.
And they said the
percentage. What you want to know is, like, you want about 3 grams of leucine to max.
It's not going
to
be as good, is it? It's just, I think, in comparison, probably they're comparing it to the vegan ones, really. And they're saying it's closest to, I think... Yeah.
Whey protein's 10% leucine, roughly.
All right.
So it's only 2% behind that.
Okay. Huh. There we go.
Right.
There we go. That's going to be super
gross.
It does. Well, Andy can try it. There we go. Next question. What's the difference between fat loss and maintenance in terms of your behaviours? I know that I can do fat loss, as I've done it so many times over the years, but maintenance is so much harder. Should I just continue as I am in the fat loss phase?
Behaviours are basically the same. I think everybody thinks that they're going to be massively different. That you need to put as much work into maintenance as you do into fat loss. The structure still needs to be there. All that happens is that you're going to be working on slightly higher calories. Your weight will shift up because your lowest weight of your fat loss phase will not be your maintenance unless you're wanting to eat around about the calories that you were settled down on, sort of the lower end. So you're going to have to put a whack of work. And this is not trying to scare anybody off, but maintenance is probably the toughest goal to...
Just elaborate on that, because I think people won't understand that. Your weight will go up.
So your weight will go up because you will be eating more food. You will be building the ability to build more muscle because you have extra fuel in the system. And then there'll be obviously the other sort of the additional stuff, like there may be a little bit extra water retention if you've increased food content, etc. too. So these are the kind of things that you can't stress about. Weight will go up slightly. And maintenance, and I think that's the thing. I think everybody thinks that they're going to be able to maintain on the lowest weight of their fat loss phase. And for the majority of people, you can do that, but it's not going to be fun. You're going to be maintaining at
I don't know if I fully agree with that, because this depends. Like, that's true for if you want to get into like contest prep shape, ridiculous, right? If you've got like Jenny, who's like, I want to get into a healthy BMI range, and you nail your healthy BMI range. I agree with you that if you're eating more, then because of food volume, you might weigh a little bit more. But realistically, you could stay the same body composition. And the important point to make is your weight will still fluctuate, even if your body composition isn't changing. So like, depending on what you ate or where you are in your menstrual cycle or whatever. And you know, like, maintenance doesn't look like staying at 62 kilograms for the rest of your life. It looks like bopping up and down around that. But I don't think you necessarily need to put on weight from the end of your diet if you've not dieted to a point that you're at a very low body fat.
I think it's I agree with Andy in terms of like the behavior side of things, but I think it's people's expectations that they have this mindset around, okay, I'm in a fat loss phase, and they're not actually thinking of the long-term maintenance side of things. And I think it's like a psychological barrier. They think that, okay, well, this is the fat loss phase and maintenance is going to look completely different. And that's probably down to like lack of education or misinformation that's been put out, that people have these perceptions. But I think that's a massive block, that even if we were to even change, and I know here you talk about maintenance a lot, but a lot of people are really focused on fat loss, fat loss, fat loss, and forget about, okay, well, if you want the fat loss and you want to keep the fat loss, you have to continue doing these things for a longer period of time. And I think when people don't have that expectation, they think that they can just stop. And that's when the results, they don't get to keep their results.
Yeah. Got to keep trimming the bush. Can't just trim your bush once and then think it will just stay trimmed. It's consistent maintenance.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Kill the bush.
But I agree. Like, I think people still think, whether it's like consciously or subconsciously, that they'll do the fat loss phase for a bit and then it's like, well, I've achieved it. Great. But actually, most people have achieved fat loss before. What they haven't been able to do is maintain it. That's why we're always like, maintenance is the hard part. And Andy's totally right. The behaviors that got you here are going to keep you here. Now, some of the numbers might change a little bit. Your calories might go up slightly, but realistically, even just from a health perspective. And sometimes I think this helps with the impatient side as well, of like, you're going to have to do this for the rest of your life. If you want to keep your teeth clean, if you want to keep your bush trimmed, like, you're going to have to continue to brush your teeth and
brush your bush.
You want, Andy, right? Like, maybe
people could use that, couldn't they? If they're finding themselves slipping back into old habits, but they're still trimming their bush, it can be a little reminder to themselves that there's other things that they could be maintaining as well.
Mm-hmm.
Next time you're trimming your bush, think about maintenance.
Just don't trim your teeth.
Yeah.
Huh?
Don't trim your teeth and brush your bush. Brush your teeth.
Oh yeah. Gosh, don't want to get that wrong. Okay, moving on.
Okay, next question. What's your thoughts on supplements? I have been taking omega-3, vitamin D3, vitamin B12, and daily multivitamin for about 5 years now on the advice of a coach. It was an online program and everyone was told to take these as standard, so it wasn't specific to me. There is a lot of talk about placebo effect, so just wondering what you think. I'd rather not spend the money on them if they're not really needed. I take creatine and know that's highly recommended, but thinking, should I stop with all the others?
They're all pretty sensible ones, to be fair. I think, and honestly, I still go through phases of, there's actually no research to show that a multivitamin is beneficial if you have a varied diet. But yet there's still like an underlying like thing in my head of like, yeah, but it kind of covers my bases. But there's not like nothing to support that whatsoever. And then there's actually like detrimental impacts of taking supplements that you don't need as well, especially ones that aren't water soluble. So the negative of taking, I don't know, like too much vitamin C is that you've wasted a bit of money and you'll pee it out. You'll have, you know, people who take a lot of supplements, like this used to kind of be like a bodybuilding thing. I'm sure like Andy and I have joked about this years ago, but like your pee is really expensive because you just pee it out, you know? And like there used to be this, do you remember Animal Pack, Andy?
Yeah.
Like you had to take like 5 of these massive vitamin pills, and then people would be like, oh my god, look, my pee's gone like green or
like
something.
Shrek. You can tell how expensive your pee is by the smell of it, basically.
Yeah, well, like it like changed color, and you're like, well, that's probably not the best sign. Anyway,
it was also such dodgy little baggies as well. It was like the wee plastic baggies that you get like your wee Coke done at a weekend, the wee square bags.
Gosh,
the bouncer, I used to confiscate them.
Oh yeah.
He says while sniffing.
There's nothing wrong with my nose.
Yes.
I can't remember what my point was.
I think you were saying about the vitamin C and multivitamin, like not necessarily having any evidence, but maybe deep, like the other vitamins, there are some, aren't there?
If you overdose, and you'd have to really go for it to overdose vitamin D, but that could be toxic because it's fat soluble and not water soluble. But actually, most of those sound quite sensible, to be honest.
Yeah,
you might not need B12, but a lot of people don't. You know, if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, you're probably not getting enough from your diet, so it's probably not a bad thing to top up on that. Yeah, I don't think they're silly, and it also, depending on where you buy them, those that shouldn't be costing you a huge amount of money.
Home bargains.
But then I don't know, and this is the other thing, like you never really know the quality of supplements, because what is the difference between the £1 home bargain one and the £20 one from somewhere else? Like, and obviously you can look at the dosages and stuff, but I'm just still a little bit unsure, like how
this
you
would this be fair. You could probably kerfuffle the dosages and just say that there's a certain dosage in them, and they probably wouldn't get checked anyway. One in 500,000 would get checked. So
yeah, do you know what? There was this really interesting piece of research where they looked at the dosages of CBD products, and some of them had nothing in, no CBD. It was like something wild as well. It was like 20% of the products that they tested had no trace of CBD. You're like, wow, that's real.
Just
bad.
Buy the Haribo gummy bears, don't buy the CBD ones, because there's fuck all in them. But it's the same as like the supplementation. Like over in the UK, I think it's slightly stricter, but in America, there's some wild shit happens in America with like your supplementation. Like there's been folk going to prison and stuff recently, or in the past 5 years, for supplementation stuff. But then that's not like dodgy stuff, that's like protein powder, etc. So yeah, it's always interesting. But on that note, I got some new protein powder today, and it's carrot cake, and it smells amazing.
Oh, where from?
Applied Nutrition. So they've got that, and then obviously I quite like a pre-workout, so the flavours I got were Love Hearts, which sounds unbelievable, and the, you know, the lemon refresher bars, the ones that like pull your teeth out, you've got that flavor as well for pre-workout, which for me, two winners. I shall let you know how they come get on.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want another question?
Yeah,
also okay. Oh, this must be our same person. It says, also when it comes to taking protein powder, is whey isolate better? I think we've covered that today, I would say, in the earlier question.
Does she mean isolate compared to...
she might mean isolate compared to just normal whey protein. I mean, I prefer isolate because I don't fart as much. But that's just me. I get quite windy if I'm just drinking normal. But I'm also lactose. I am actually lactose intolerant. I don't know if that makes a difference.
Yeah, so I was going to say, if you are like... lactose intolerant then isolate does seem to suit people better. I always use, to be honest, so much of this is just preference. Like we always get asked, you know, like which creatine should you use? Like any creatine monohydrate literally doesn't matter, because it should be the same. If it's creatine monohydrate, you can buy it from bulk if it's on offer there, you can buy it from MyProtein if it's on offer there, like it should be the same thing. It's just a and then with protein, it's really just taste. Like, and obviously how you respond to it in terms of your gut. Like if you're like, oh no, actually whey protein doesn't suit me that well, I would try isolate and see if it works better for you. But if not, I would say that whey protein mixes nicer than isolate. It's quite thin, isn't it?
That like the clear whey, not the clear whey.
No, like whey isolate compared to whey protein.
Oh, the mix. Oh, sorry. Yeah, no. Yeah,
it's thinner. It's less like a
got
shake.
Less kind of. It's got like the less of the milk powder in it, or like the stuff that makes it quite milky.
Yeah, which I prefer, I think, as well. Just me, but there we go. We've got one more. That's it.
Excellent.
One more. It says, given my work schedule, I hit the gym from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. typically after dinner. For instance, my weightlifting routine includes 10 reps of deadlifts at 70. full-time squats at around 80, even if I've met my protein target of 100 grams, is it still advisable to have a protein shake after I drink with water, after I drink with water and nearly 10 p.m.? Okay, so afterwards, if it's nearly 10 p.m., should she still be having a protein shake after her workout?
I would say if her goal is to build as much muscle as possible, I probably would. Mainly because you're then going to like technically fast until whenever you wake up in the morning. But also saying that, if you have literally just had a high protein dinner before you go, do remember that these things, like, actually you might be, your digestive system and thus amino acid peak in your blood might actually be coinciding with like the end of your workout anyway.
Mm.
And I remember having this discussion with a protein researcher called Lee Hamilton. And he was like, look, if you actually wanted to peak your rates of muscle protein synthesis from protein and your rates of muscle protein synthesis from exercise, you would start drinking your protein shake about 20 minutes into your 1 hour workout or something like that. And it's like, you wouldn't do that. It's not practical, right? And I guess my point is, if you've eaten protein before, it's probably going to be, you know, you're going to have elevated amino acid levels anyway, which is a good thing. So you might not need to have it afterwards. But then on a more like practical level, if my goal was to build muscle and then I knew I was going to be training and then like going to bed without having eaten anything and then not eating again until, I don't know, whatever time I had breakfast the next day, I probably would have a protein shake.
Yeah.
But my point is, probably don't make much difference. Yeah.
There's been a theme with the might.
Yes, it's science, but at the same time, probably doesn't even matter. Do what you want.
I'm sure you put a post up the other day. Oh, I think, yeah, you did. I think it was on Insta where you're like, it depends, or it doesn't matter. And it's often the answer, isn't it?
Yeah. It depends.
It depends.
It does. What's everyone doing for Christmas?
I'm just at home being just, you know, such a legend here in this excellent weather.
What's the weather like there?
Absolutely horrendous. 24/7. Yeah, it's
Yeah, good.
I thought we'd say 24 degrees. I was like, that doesn't sound too horrendous.
No.
What's the weather like there, Ruth?
It has been raining, actually. It's not rained today, but it was wet as we landed, but it's still like 28 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And it was sunny this morning. But yeah, it's looking to improve anyway, by the looks of it. Not that the weather forecasts really mean anything really much.
Tell me about the food there.
It's a lot of fish. So if you like fish, like mahi-mahi, and swordfish, like I love it, fish recipes, so we might do that. We might end up having fish on Christmas Day actually and just go and get some there. Doubles, like that's was a big hit. So what, like
so what's that?
Doubles,
yeah,
it's like traditionally I think they're from Trinidad and they've got chickpea, they call it like chana in it, and they have like two wraps together. It's a bit like a roti, if you've ever had a roti, but it's like but the one that we got has a chickpea and we get the chicken potato mix in it. And then it's got like mango chutney. It's got a bit of a spice to it. Mango.
Everybody look at this if you're watching.
Yeah, that's it.
Hello.
Open Cornish pasty, but from Barbados, Bahamas. Is it Bahamas?
Well, it's like a wrap, but it's like, it's really good. But they're messy. So I've heard that's the reason, because it's two of them together, which is why it's a couple. It's like, yeah, they're from Trinidad.
Yeah, but don't you think, like, with the chickpeas, it looks a bit like, or it looks a bit like dal or something.
It tastes a bit like that as well, I guess, but it's really nice. And we just go to the doubles lady and get those. They are delicious and quite cheap. They are quite cheap as well. It's like $6 Bajan, which is $3, so I don't know, a couple of quid to get one.
And is that bread or like naan?
No, it's like a wrap. So it's like, it's a little bit thicker, but I think it's made with like a bit of cornmeal and stuff, maybe. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. It might not be, but it's got like, it's nice. It's like a wrap. Like a
thick, yeah, I can't say it's the most aesthetic looking.
No, it looks like diarrhea.
Yeah,
if
it
you
does
like
taste
chewed out your kebab,
they kind of serve it to you like wrapped up. You know, like if you're buying burrito. Like, yeah.
And what about the chickpeas and the farty situation?
Yeah, I only have one at a time. They're quite little, thankfully.
One chickpea.
It's not super dairy. It's not high in dairy. It's not creamy. So I'm all good. And also, like, you're outside all the time. If you get a bit farty, it's not the end of the world, is it?
Gives you a bit of space away from people. Do you know one of my favourite memes ever is, like, this picture of this girl by a tree and the guy's like, what are you doing over here all alone? She's like, I came here to fart.
I don't know if you're like this with your dog, Ruth, but does your dog ever fart and like make it like scare itself?
Oh yeah, but it's not just scares itself, it makes me go. So the dog moves, looks at its bum like it's offended, and then just leaves.
I saw the funniest TikTok of dogs where their owners like fart right into the dogs and their facial expressions are just hilarious. I sent it into the group chat.
There's a one on YouTube that there's like an old dog and the dog must be like 17 or 18 years old and is like proper old and he's just lying there and has the most horrific sounding fart you've ever heard. You're like literally like that literally sounds like you're farting yourself inside out, and then all of a sudden it pans to the cat that's up on top of the wardrobe and the cat starts puking. The cat's like bleh, 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 and start chucking up, and you're like, this is the cat's face. So I'll put that up in the group chat.
Yeah, please. I need to see that.
I feel like people, maybe you should just put it on the thread in the group because people
are on the thread.
Okay, happy Christmas, everyone.
It has what, fish as well?
Yeah, fish. And so they call it dolphin. It's not actually dolphin. In fact, this is terrible. Don't judge my son. He is autistic, so you can feel bad if you do. But when we first moved here, he asked for dolphin at the fish fry. So he went, oh, can I have dolphin, please? Which is not actually dolphin. It's called mahi mahi. But he asked for it and they brought it over and he was like, oh, it's really dolphin. He's going to eat. He thought he was going to see, like, it was. We told him it wasn't actually dolphin, thinking we were making him feel better. And he was really disappointed he wasn't eating a dolphin.
What the fuck is this? This isn't dolphin.
He's like, what? It's not a dolphin.
I feel like it's quite rubbery, no?
I don't know. I've never eaten a dolphin.
No, me neither. But, like, the skin is quite hard.
It'd be like a sharky skin, wouldn't it? Like that sandpapery one. I don't know. Is it?
No, it's like smooth and rubbery, I think.
Yeah.
Sharks feel quite dry, apparently, under the water.
Ooh. Yeah. But the fish is delicious. So if you like fish, you'd like it. Yeah, it's really, really lovely.
Isn't Rihanna from there?
Yeah, she's a national hero of Barbados. So she's a living national hero.
Have you met her?
Oh, yeah, all the time. She's just hanging out now. Obviously, never.
Passed one of her many residences last year when we were on holiday there.
Yeah, well, she came because when they did their independence, which was like maybe it might have been the end of 2021, I think, when they went independent, they then made Rihanna a living national hero. And yeah, there was big deals over there around that. So they've got her, the street she grew up on, Rihanna Drive, they've named it after her. And it's like a tourist attraction.
Amazing. I'm quite a big Rihanna fan, you know.
There you go. Well, she is, yeah, popular. But,
well, you know, if you see her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's always walking around her head.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say, oh, Emma really likes you. She thinks it's really good.
Yeah. Oh, my friend Emma says hi. She'll be like, oh, great.
She'll be like, oh, do you want to see me?
Andy, what are you doing for Christmas?
Quiet one, just chilling, not much else. It's always good. I like a bit of downtime at Christmas. Laura likes busy family time, and I'm like, no, it's all cool. So yeah, no, just a bit of downtime. Say again?
Are you cooking?
Yeah, I always cook. Nobody else is allowed to cook. I don't trust anybody else.
Fair enough.
So yeah, no, I actually find it, well, I do the cooking A to get away from everybody. I go and shut the kitchen door and then stick something on Netflix and then just watch that whilst I'm cooking. It's great. It's great. I'm pretty organized in the kitchen though, so that's why I don't like people messing my kitchen up.
Fair. Maureen, do you do the cooking?
Absolutely not. Like, no.
Can I just ask that you chew your food carefully? Because I'm going to need you next year.
Yeah, I promise.
Why are you asking her that? I feel there's a story here.
Maureen chokes quite a lot. And the other day, she almost died.
Maureen?
Full on blocked my windpipe, like was... could not
try to heal a full chicken.
Yeah.
What were you eating? Sorry, it's like
I think it was actually a piece of sausage that got stuck.
Soup. She was drinking soup and she choked.
Yeah, it was actually quite traumatic. Now I thought I was actually going to die when I started to notice that I was feeling faint. I was like, I need to get out of here. Yeah, it was.
The sausage needs to get out of here. You don't need to. You need help.
Yeah, but that's what I had to leg it to get help. I was here on my own.
So you were going along that.
I was choking, like yeah, could not breathe.
I feel sorry for your mum. You just burst in, like,
and was like, ah. She was like, oh my God, oh my God, whack, whack, whack.
Do you know the worst part as well? Like, for those of you who don't follow Maureen or haven't for a while, like, you scare your mum all the time.
Yeah.
So she's, you know, you should be careful with that because she might, like, if I walked in and I was like, my mum would be like, this is serious. Whereas yours might be like, she's got a camera.
Maureen cried wolf one too many times.
No, she knows. She knows.
Imagine she just gave you that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she knows how to read me. Yeah. She was in the hairdressers today and the hairdressers were all telling her, you know, oh, it's hilarious how she has. Mom was like, oh, do you see she makes a fool of me on that Instagram?
there was the defining moment that she realized you were in trouble because you were like the color of a smurf, like went completely blue as you were choking. Maybe this isn't a joke.
Yeah.
No, wait, she's not got her phone. Yeah, no, it must be serious.
Yeah. Wait, I can see both hands.
Yeah, the phone somewhere else. Emma, what are you doing? What are you doing for Christmas? You haven't said.
I don't think very much. I was so tempted just to get on a flight somewhere, but I think I'm just going to
stay. That temptation's been going for quite a while, though.
No, it's building.
Oh, really? You sent me that video and all I could see was the Skyscanner tabs in the top.
I was like, just ignore all the tabs that are open.
We'll be podcasting next week at some point and we'll be like, so Emma, how was your Christmas? Fine, I'm in Argentina. Or Guatemala, or somewhere fucking random.
Those really cheap flights. I looked up the other day because I was Googling.
Don't go Iceland.
Where is it sunny within like 7 hour flight from the UK? Gambia. But like everywhere else was like quite standard. It was like Tenerife, Portugal's all right. And then it was like Marrakesh. And I was like, yeah, Egypt, blah, blah, blah. Dubai, Gambia. Thought, oh, what an odd
it's not top of the tourist list normally, is it?
I've never heard of anyone go there on holiday.
Gambia tourist attractions: the Kachikali Crocodile Pool, the Bahio National Park, the Albert Market. It's got 3.9 stars. The Kunta Kinte Island. I probably pronounced that one wrong. Maureen will like that one though.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I like that.
The Abuko Nature Reserve, Banjul.
I mean,
there seems to be a lot going on in Gambia, to be fair. The stone circles of Gambia.
There you go, Emma. Cheap flights.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay, guys. I'll see you all next week from Gambia.
In Gambia. From the Kuntu Kinte Island.
We will see everyone next week because we know that Christmas can be a bit of time where people tend to quote bowl off track or, you know, overindulge a bit and then struggle to get back on track. So what we've done is put a group call on the 27th at 9 a.m. or 9:15, I can't remember, to get you back on track. So hopefully as many of you as possible can be there. And yeah, have lovely Christmases.
Are you saying 27th? It's 28th, isn't it? Sorry, just...
Okay, 28th. That's what I meant. Is it 28th?
Yeah, well, it's on my calendar as the 28th, and I normally just accept labs.
Yeah.
Yeah. 28th at 9.
Perfect.